chapter 48. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी वातानवन्ति न हि सन्ति दास्य न उक्तस्य वः प्राचीन बर्हिर्जीवाति होग्रदण्डः गावो न काल्यांत इदं कुतो रजो लोकस्य वः प्राचीन बर्हिर्जीवाति होग्रदण्डः किं प्रलयाय कल्पते
Word to word meaning, vataha, the winds,
navanti,
are not blowing,
na,
not,
he,
because,
shanti,
are possible,
dasyavaha,
plunderers,
prachana barhi,
old king barhi,
jivati,
is living,
ha,
still,
Ugradandaha,
who would sternly punish,
Kavaha,
the cows,
Na
Kalyante,
are not being driven,
Idam,
this,
Kutaha,
from where,
Rajaha,
dust,
Lokaha,
the planet,
Aduna,
now,
Kim,
is it,
Pralayaya,
for dissolution,
Kalpate,
to be considered ready.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
Conjecturing on the origin of the storm, they said, there is no wind blowing and no cows are passing, nor is it possible that this dust storm could be raised by plunderers, for there is still the strong King Barhi who would punish them. Where is this dust storm blowing from? Is the dissolution of the planet now to occur?
Purport.
Specifically significant in this verse is Prachina Barhi Jivati. The king of the part of the land was known as Barhi, and although he was old, he was still living, and he was a very strong ruler. Thus, there was no possibility of an invasion by thieves and plunderers. Indirectly, it is stated that thieves, plunderers, rogues and unwanted population can exist only in a state or kingdom where there is no strong ruler. When, in the name of justice, thieves are allowed liberty, the state and kingdom are disturbed by such plunderers and unwanted population. The dust storm created by the soldiers and assistants of Lord Shiva resemble the situation at the time of dissolution of this world. When there is a need for dissolution, for the dissolution of the material creation, this function is conducted by Lord Shiva. Therefore, the situation now created by him resembles the dissolution of the cosmic manifestation.
ओमज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च ஹே கிருஷ்ணா கருணா சிந்து தீனபந்தோ ஜகத்பதே கோபேஷ கோபிகா காந்த ராதா காந்த நமஸ்துதே தப்த காஞ்சன கௌரங்கி ராதே விருந்தாவனேஸ்வரி ரிஷபானுசுதே தேவி பிரணமாமி ஹரிப்ரியே வாஞ்சா கல்பதருபியஸ்ச கிருபா சிந்துபியா ஏவ ச பதிதானாம் பாவனேபியோ வைஷ்ணவேபியோ நமோ நம. ஜெய் ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ணா சைதன்யா பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌரபக்த விருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா ஹரே கிருஷ்ணா 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே ஹரே.
As the saying goes, as you sow, so shall you reap. This incident of the frustration of the sacrifice of Daksha is due to his previous action of offending Lord Shiva and then not saving his daughter Sati when she was giving up her life. And as a result of all that, he and those who were assembled in the arena, they are going to face this consequence. So here we see how Lord Shiva has created a fierce personality, Veerabhadra, and he is approaching the sacrificial arena, and he has been ordered by Lord Shiva to kill Daksha and to stop the sacrifice. So as he is approaching, he is creating a big storm of dust, and the brahmanas and the wives of Daksha and those who are assembled, they are speaking these verses. They are wondering, where is this dust coming from? They are saying there is no possibility of cows passing by. And then the second possibility they are checking, okay, are there any plunderers or thieves? And they are ruling out that option as well, because as Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport, there is a strong king, Prachinabarhi, he was ruling, and he makes sure, even though he is old, he is a very strong ruler. So there is no possibility of thieves and plunderers. Then they are looking at the other option, okay, is the dissolution of the planet going to occur now? It is so fierce that they are worried the whole universe is going to be destroyed. In one sense, they are right, there is going to be a dissolution, but in this case, the dissolution is going to happen not only at a gross level, but the bhakti of a person who is committing Vaishnava Aparadha, how it gets destroyed, or how it is going to be put into dissolution, just as planets get destroyed at the time of dissolution. Similarly, a person's bhakti also gets destroyed when he commits Vaishnava Aparadha. So in this case, Daksha is playing the role of a person who is too much attached to his position and power, and due to which he has developed this attitude of pride. Each person has a tendency to control over and show his prowess and all that, and that's why we are here in this material world. What this leads to is that we forget who is ultimately in control. The Lord is ultimately in control. But when we forget that and we think we have control over a certain area, and here Prajapati Daksha is given the role of creating progeny, and he is very expert in that. So the achievements that he has to his credit, and the power that he has, the position that he has, and these are all leading to pride. And this pride is acting as a block between him and the Lord, block between him and bhakti. Last canto we saw how devotional service can be performed in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of goodness, and in the mode of passion as well. This canto begins with the example of Daksha's episode, where it graphically describes how a person is performing devotional service, but he's doing it not out of pure motives, but his motive is not completely pure. So he tends to commit aparad, or he tends to insult the other Vaishnavas, not give proper respect for them, but he is only interested in satisfying the Lord. So in this scenario, as the definition goes, so such a person's mentality is still in the platform of a Kanishtha. He wants to perform devotional service, he respects the Lord, but he doesn't show proper respect to other Vaishnavas. And in this case, we can see how the heart of Daksha is inflicted by pride. And because the achievements and the power and position are standing between him and bhakti, the Lord does not completely enter his heart. And that is the main reason why his heart is hard. When you have too many material attachments, all our energy and all our attention, all our focus is on achieving them in the direction of safeguarding and expanding your empire. And anyone who you see as a potential threat to your area of control, you try to eliminate them, or you try to destroy them. So, first is the activity of, the excessive desires or lust. And then when there is a danger of not achieving those objects that you desire, then any person who is stopping you from achieving those position or power, who seems to be a threat, you want to destroy them. For destroying, what do you need? Anger. So, as soon as the lust is not fulfilled, it leads to anger, playing the role of a person who is attached to his power. And his heart is slowly, slowly becoming very, very hard, to such an extent, the first time he offends Lord Shiva for a simple mistake of, not even that, it was not a mistake from Shiva's side, as he explains later. He was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's why he did not stand up when Daksha entered the arena. But Daksha was considering Lord Shiva as a potential threat to his zone of control. Why is this person not acknowledging me? So, then he offends, then he curses. As we know, the episode, Lord Shiva at that time did not create a demon to kill Daksha, because Daksha was offending him directly. And as a Vaishnava, Lord Shiva did not take any offense, and he just walked away from the assembly. Now one may wonder why such a soft-hearted Lord Shiva is now creating a big demon to kill Daksha. It is because of the fact that even though a Vaishnava is tolerant to any blasphemy against him, when somebody blasphemes him, he tolerates. But when he sees that he has to defend the Vaishnava who is being offended, and also to teach a lesson to those who are offending Vaishnavas. And that's why Lord Shiva is doing this activity of creating a person. As we see in the previous verses, this person is the personification of the anger of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I just read it in the translations a few verses ago. Yes, it's in verse 5. Maitreya continued, "My dear Vidura, that black person was the personified anchor of the Supreme Personality of will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Lord wants to teach a lesson. This is what will happen when you offend a Vaishnava. And here the offense was so great that a person, this is Mother Sati, has left her body. A king as such, or any person in a powerful position, is meant to protect all his subjects. And even it is said that blood is thicker than water. It is said that bodily relationship is more stronger. But the heart of Daksha has gone so much hard that even just in front of his eyes, Mother Sati is committing suicide. He did not stop her. And he did not even feel repentful or anything of those emotions. He did not exhibit any of those emotions. So, to the extent that a person is attached to material desires, power, position, to that extent, your heart becomes hard and you are separated from the Lord and you lose your bhakti. So, this losing of bhakti can happen to a person who is even in the platform of prema, or even the platform of bhava. So when they start losing their bhakti, what will happen is, if they are in the platform of madhuri rasa, the effect of the offense, depending on the severity, the rasa in madhurya, they may lose that and they may come down to dasya. They may lose that spontaneous attraction to the Lord to serve Him in Madhurya Rasa, and they may come down. And depending on the severity, if it is much higher, they will lose all their taste and they may end up having a shadow attraction to the Lord. Instead of having genuine attraction, because of the effect of the offense, they may have a reflection of the attraction to the Lord. So this is how gradually, a person who has even achieved the topmost level of bhava and prema, if they commit Vaishnava Prad, they will end up losing their bhakti. Another point is the tendency to commit Vaishnava Prad that also lingers on, as we will see. Now that Daksha will lose his life and then he will take birth again, and then he will lose his position from that of son of Brahma to be born as a sons of the Prachetas. So he will take birth as in the body of a Kshatriya. So it is definitely, step down. But still, the Lord even is still protecting him, is giving him a chance. In the sense, he is not completely abandoning Daksha. He's given a chance again. And this time, because the material desires are still there with him, so, and the Lord also wants to create progeny. So, later episodes we'll see how the Lord will encourage him. Daksha will compose. He will recite the Amsaguda prayers, he'll see the Lord again. The Lord will also encourage him to create progeny. But because the tendency to commit Vaishnava Prad is still lingering on, he hasn't given it up. When Narada Muni changes all his sons, the first 10,000 Hareshwas, then they decide to take up the renounced order, then he will again produce 1,000 sons. And when they also decide to take the renounced order, then he will analyze. Again, he is seeing a threat to what his position, power and pride. And then whoever is against him, again that same mentality comes up. And then so he curses Narada Muni also. So this mentality of committing Vaishnava Aparad and to offending them has to be given up. so that it doesn't linger on with us and destroy the bhakti that we are trying to cultivate. Another theme that came to my mind when reading this is the plunderers. The word plunderers again comes in Manasiksha. It's a set of prayers which are offered where it's described that those who take the path of bhakti, it's a glorious path, but they will be harassed by plunderers. Like, so whatever accomplishments that he has, due to these vices, these demoniac qualities, a person tends to lose all that bhakti that he is trying to cultivate. Now, as a remedy for safeguarding against the plunderers, it is recommended that one calls out to the calls out help from the Vaishnavas. It is said that one should call out for the help of the devotees of Bhakka. So, why is it that one person, why not he call out the name of Krishna, and why should he call out to the devotees of the Lord? It's explained that a person who is attached to woman and a person who is directly associating with woman, out of these two, it's explained that a person who is attached to women may develop some amount of taste in that. But a person who is associating with another person who is into this attraction to women, and the way that he describes the activities that he is doing and the way that he is enjoying, the other person who is associating with this person who is strongly attached to women, he is going to get more attracted to women. So in the same way, acharyas explain that a devotee will constantly be talking about the Lord, he will constantly be describing the activities of the Lord and the various ways in which a person will be doing bhakti and the various ways in which he will be engaging in bhakti. By that association, you get attraction to the Lord. Rather than trying to associate with the Lord directly and trying to take help from him to save him from this plunderers, if the person calls out to the Vaishnavas, then he will be immediately saved from all these vices. By protecting bhakti in this way, we can prevent ourselves from our heart being hardened. In this way, we will allow the Lord to come and sit and reside in the heart. As it is said in this particular purport, when there is a strong ruler, the plunderers and the thieves will not come. So when we allow the Lord to come and sit in the core of our heart, through the medium of prayers to the Vaishnavas and by being submissive to them and rendering service to them, by such service and by such prayers, we attract the mercy of the Lord and we request him to reside in the heart, and by that mercy of Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnavas, these thieves and plunderers who are sitting in our heart in the form of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion and envy, they will be driven out and we will start to develop attraction to the Lord. Because the Lord is all attractive, when we start developing attraction to the Lord, then we will also start to show compassion to all other living beings. Here in this case, it will act as a antidote to, or as a remedy to hard-heartedness. So, first is to acknowledge that we have all these vices in the heart. Then second is to call out for the Vaishnavas for help, who will drive away these, and they will by their association, increase our attraction to the Lord. By that attraction to Guru and Krishna and the Vaishnavas, these unwanted things will leave the heart and the Lord will start residing. And when we start developing intense attachment to the Lord, then we know who is in control. And we will not see the Vaishnavas as a potential threat, but as an object of worship or as an opportunity to serve. So instead of we being stuck in our zone of control, we know that the Lord is in control. And when we see other Vaishnavas, instead of seeing them as threat or competitors or envying them, we will start serving them, or at least attempt to do some menial service to them, then take up the next step of glorifying, seeing the good qualities. So in this way we can gradually drive away those plunderers who are taking away our bhakti, develop attachment to the Lord and develop the soft-heartedness, compassion towards other Vaishnavas. In this way we can guard ourselves against Vaishnava Prat and thereby prevent the disillusion of our bhakti. So I'll stop here. Let's see if there are any comments, corrections, or questions related to today's whatever we discussed today.
If Sati was the son of a daughter of Daksha, then why didn't Daksha care for her when she left her body?
What's the question? If Sati is the daughter of Daksha, why did he not care for or protect her when she left her body?
Stay tuned.
So that was the whole point of the class. I think you came a bit late. So in nutshell, Daksha's heart became hard because he was too much attached to power and pride. So, when your heart is hard, you won't show compassion to others, even to your own daughter. So that's why he did not prevent Sati from killing herself. So, to prevent ourselves from being hard-hearted, we need to take help from other Vaishnavas, develop attraction to Lord, and by allowing the Lord to sit in our heart will become soft and will become compassionate to others.
This is either a paradox here or a bit of a dilemma in that we're encouraged to call out to the Vaishnavas, but the Vaishnavas then will say, chant Hare Krishna. Right?
Yes.
And in fact, in one sense we've done, you know, our method of purification is chanting Hare Krishna. So it's approaching the Lord directly in the form of His name.
Yes.
Right? But then why are we encouraged to approach the devotees? If they're just going to say, approach the Lord.
Yeah. So, firstly, the Lord Himself directs a person to approach Him through a representative. He is not completely convinced if a person directly approaches Him. So, as this famous verse, Eme Bhakta Janam Partha, one who is my devotee is not my devotee. One who is a devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. Then, chanting Hare Krishna as an individual and chanting Hare Krishna in the association of devotees, it's got a profound effect. You may not be able to chant as an individual for a longer period, and it is not advised. So, in the beginning stage, we are always advised to be in the association of devotees and chant. Now, because the devotees have been practicing, and even when they say chant Hare Krishna, because they have been practicing it, the instruction has a profound effect on us. And also, as you are progressing in bhakti, then you take up initiation and when it's the same Hare Krishna mantra, so, and it's not kept like secretly, it's not like a Gayatri mantra or something. So what's the difference is that when you are receiving the instructions to chant attentively and when Prabhupada says in the tape, sit properly and chant attentively. So what you are receiving is the instruction, and along with that their strength to execute the instruction also comes to us. And as I mentioned in this, their association will rub against you and you will be motivated to chant and do devotional activities, and it is more like a fast track rather than doing it alone. So your taste for all that Vasudeva Katha Ruchi will increase many fold when you are doing it in the association of the devotees. So that's why, even though they're going to say the same thing, but they will create an environment for you to do those devotional activities in a much deeper way, and you can progress much quicker rather than doing it alone. So, if anyone has anything else to add, they can. This is why I feel that we have to call out for the Vaishnavas.
That's why the association of devotees is important, because they give you the holy name and they give you Krishna. But our primary means of purification is chanting Hare Krishna. But I think you're not in the association of the devotees. Or without the association of the devotees, you would never even know about it anyway. So you can only get lucky through the bhakta. So, if a devotee is inclined towards not following or not practicing, then the remembrance of the Vaishnavas who are engaged in devotional sort of practice, devotional service.
It's described as they will act as police. So there's a plunderer and there is a police. So the Vaishnavas are of the are like the police or the cops.
You call it. Yeah, sometimes the way has to be firm.
And they safeguard and protect. Basically, they're protecting you from not deviating, and they're protecting your bhakti as well. By Prabhupada's word to word meaning, it says old King Barhi and Prachina Barhi.
Prachina
Barhi is there in the verse itself, so it is King Prachina Barhi. But I had this question as well, like here we are seeing the pastime of Daksha, and is the king more powerful than the Prajapati, because the king has to protect even the Prajapati. So I couldn't find an answer. Because it looks like it's for sure that it's happening the same time when King Prachinabari is ruling. So if he's ruling and there are great personalities like Daksha and all, they are creating progeny. And so it's a rule, the duty of a king to protect them as well. And these people are looking towards the king for protection. And these are wives or wives and the brahmanas. So looks like in the hierarchy the kings are probably it's their duty to protect, and that's what I felt. Is it the same Prachinabarhi who Narada Muni preached to? I think so. Is the Narada Muni like go and preach to him? I think that's where the analogy and all that will come.
He was the father of the Prachetas.
The whole sequence that I spoke from is from His Holiness Bhakti Vijnana Goswami Maharaj's lecture. And he was quoting various authorities from Nectar of Devotion. So he spoke on this verse and also a few points in that.
What was your question?
No one said that why Lord Shiva did not himself
go to the actual scene and why he had pretended to his wife that he
kidnapped.
Why
did Lord Shiva had to create Veerabhadra to go and kill Daksha rather than he himself doing it? Because it's his wife is involved and his wife has lost life. Why did he not directly go and kill Daksha? Why has to? Why he has to create a demon?
Because he was not a demon before there.
He's a powerful personality.
He doesn't have to.
He doesn't. Kapha has translated in a previous circle that this is indicative of the tension, the eternal tension between ignorance and goodness in the material world.
Oh yeah, this is constant.
Usually a great man doesn't, but Lord Shiva is an exalted personality. So, it's kind of like he doesn't need to get his hands dirty. It's a measure of his. Just like Krishna, why doesn't Krishna
come down?
Organize the material world? He doesn't need to be. He's the supreme controller. So, therefore, we get somebody else to do it. That's an indication of his power. The same with Lord Shiva. He doesn't have to get caught up with. yeah. behaving those kind of activities, he remains somewhat aloof.
Only if the entire universe has to be destroyed and all that, so he gets into action, and that's what he said. When there is a need for the dissolution of the material creation, this function is conducted by Lord Shiva. So, that's his role, and he doesn't have to get into killing Daksha directly, as Prabhu mentioned.
He gets into it, he's involved later on, isn't he?
Yeah, he will go into the sacrificial arena, then Daksha will offer prayers, and he will tell why he did all this.
Yeah.
So he knew that the demigods have to be corrected, and demigods are like children, so sometimes to correct children you have to take up the stick, and so that's why he says, so somebody will lose their teeth, somebody will lose their mustache and all that. So Shiva will say why and what they should be doing. Probably end here. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय